When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's GigPod episode 225. I'm Stevie and I'm joined by Rizzo, and we're going to discuss Celtic getting to the final of the Scottish Cup. Yet again, we secured a place to play Rangers on the 25th of May after a nerve-wracking but exciting 3-3 draw with Aberdeen at the weekend there, where Celtic ran out 6-5 winners in penalties. So Rizzo, you are with me. How are you feeling after the weekend? Have you calmed down?
Hi everyone, hi Stevie. Yes, I mean, in a way it was a sort of ultimate cup semi-final, like with the underdog coming up against a team heavily favoured. But that's enough about Coventry versus Man United. Boom, boom. Ugh, it wasn't the best performance, but I don't want to just be critical, because the gig pod army, who I love, will be out of arms against me again if I criticise a Celtic team that much, and I don't really want to, but there were some good and bad things about Saturday. But I mean, I suppose for the neutral, if those liars exist, it was an exciting game. But I mean, I don't know. The next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, the season finishes like 5-6 weeks, because there's like 5 league games in 4 weeks.
So. Like a month today, really, isn't it?
So, the cup final.
Just about, yeah.
So I mean, these next 6 games are going to be interesting. I don't know really see about Celtic in the middle of the season, so. We'll talk about the game on Saturday anyway.
Well, before the game, you know, I was in a good mood because it was actually sunny for once. Glasgow wasn't pissing down. It wasn't crap. People seemed to be in a good mood. I was in a good mood. I was jovial.
I know. That may have been doing a bottle of Mad Dog.
I had a bottle of Blue Raspberry Mad Dog at 11 o'clock in the way. And yeah, we went at Old Smiddy at 11. It was a cracking laugh. And then headed to Hampden around 12 or something. But I think Hampden in the sun, as the song goes, it's great. I mean, it is a great day out when you get the weather for it and it's no disastrous.
Well, it's good when it's no stressful, i.e. the Scottish Cup final last year when like Wynwood won before the game was played, even though Ange was leaving. But Saturday was very stressful and it shouldn't have been, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Well, I guess the big calls were the fact that Liam Scales came back in at centre-half, and the fact that Yang started left wing too. And I did predict that there was a lot of calls left wing who was going to take the place for the injured Dyson Maeda. Was it going to be James Forrest? Was it going to be Lewis Palmer? Or was Yang going to keep his place, despite the fact that it was very poor against St Mirren in the 3-0 win a week before? I did predict that the manager would have faith in Yang, and he did. But I really expected Narotsky to keep his place in defence, especially.
Really?
I did, especially when the fact that there's not really any room for sentiment at Celtic. I mean, well, I know there shouldn't be at this stage of the season. I thought Narotsky, there's a couple of wee iffy moments against St Mirren where I thought, you know, at times he looked a wee bit weak and shaky, but overall, and his distribution on the ball was excellent. I mean, he's always looking to get the ball played forward quickly. But the ball was behind him at times, you know, CCV had to bail him out now and then, but especially in that first half. But overall, I would say Navrotsky was fine against St Mirren, and I really expected him to keep his place against Aberdeen. But no, Liam Scales came back in, and I know we're going to get into Liam Scales later on. We're going to be having to talk about him, and it's not going to be a hatchet job on him or anything. I don't want to turn it into an anti-Scales podcast or that, but we will have to obviously touch on his roles in the second and third goals. But what did you think of the fact that he came back in the team?
I knew it would happen because Brendan loves him. Even mind they say that it's the biggest surprise he's had in football or something, or some sort of similar guff about how well Scales has done this year. And I suppose Scales did day quite well. But since we came back after the January break, he's been absolutely toilet. He's still toilet. Actually, there's another big team thing that we've not talked about yet. McGregor starting?
Yeah, that I felt that was the wrong call too. Cal McGregor looked nowhere near it.
And he was took off after like 61 minutes. When is Cal McGregor ever taking off for Celtic? Apart from when he's injured? Never.
A couple of times, I just did it towards the end of last season. I know, when but I mean, was one, but I know it was a rhetorical question.
I know, but in a meaningful game, no, like in a piss up the wall game. No, I mean, that's a huge problem for me. I know we're going to talk about Scales, who you said he's been getting terrible like stick on a certain Celtic forum, but I mean, I'm sorry, he's shite, and Brendan's making a road for his own back by constantly picking him. And the McGregor thing's the same. I mean, we'll talk about the game in a minute, but McGregor's just no fit at all, and it's a real gamble starting him in these games. And you know he's going to be in the team on Sunday, and you know Scales are going to be in the team on Sunday, and you just hope that things are going to be a bit more calm over the next 5-6 weeks. But I don't know if they are.
I think it's fair to say the one of the players that won't be in the team on Sunday starting is Yang. I mean, we can agree on that one. But look, we'll talk about Sunday nearer the time. Let's focus on the match on Saturday there. But for all, you know, we're lambasting and getting two-footed on Scales, it wasn't him that sold the jerseys for the opener. And no, don't worry, we're not going to be slagging Cameron Carter-Vickers, who we agree is probably doing a job of two centre-halves now, for the fact that he's not really had a proper centre-defender in the mould of Carroll Starfelt next to him. But yeah,
he's doing the job of four players at the back.
Yeah, because I would say, you know, Johnston and Taylor as well aren't covering themselves in glory. But I guess you look back to that semi-final last season. Starfelt and CCV were outstanding against Rangers. They had a good 15-20 minute spell where they had the ball in our half and they were just shelling it in the box. And I know that Sakala missed a sitter, but generally CCV and Starfelt kept that Rangers team at bay. And we really did look in control. Like, we didn't look as if we were going to fold. And after we, you know, rid the storm to maybe 75, maybe even 70 minutes or so, you felt for those last 20 minutes we regained it and we were going to be absolutely fine for that match. But no, that wasn't the case on Saturday against Aberdeen. But we just started so bad. And again, I just feel CCV has been let down by those round about him, that his game's been brought down by the fact that the centre-halves next to him are just nowhere near his level.
Before we go into CCV, I slightly disagree with your assessment in the game, because I think for like the for half time until about the 80th minute, we were absolutely dominant, and like Aberdeen couldn't live with us.
No, I didn't mean, I was talking about the semi-final against Rangers.
I know, but I mean, you know, you said like in the last 10 minutes you were confident we'd hold out.
Aye, against Rangers, aye.
I mean, this weekend was the exact opposite. The last 10 minutes we fell to pieces.
Yeah, aye. What I was meaning was just the elements of control that Rangers had in that game, you felt after it would be okay.
Yeah.
But Aberdeen had a wee spell for 5 minutes or so, especially when I think Hoylett missed that chance.
It was after that.
And then after it, you just felt as if that was like a turning point in the second half.
They scored the goal, did nothing after it, had that really had a bit at the end of the first half where they thought they should have had a penalty. Unbelievably, VAR, I think, was right in both of these big talking points for Kawane. But then second half, I mean, we still had it won. But the last 10 minutes were just about fragile as anything. And that's something that £3 million Brendan has to fix. But no, I mean, the first goal, it was really bad by CCV. It was a decent pass by Leighton Clarkson, who I thought had a pretty quiet game. I know, like, before this, he was built up as a big signing for Aberdeen, like, for Liverpool, I think. And I think they spent decent money on him, maybe, like, nearly £1 million, but I thought he was pretty quiet. And Omiyovsky did score, and I know you're a big fan, and if we were going to buy Omiyovsky or Adebida, who I thought was absolutely rubbish on Saturday, I know you'd be going for Omiyovsky every time, and that was a good goal.
Yeah, I'd be going for Omiyovsky every time. I said that even though he only scored 1 in 10, I said before the game, you know, he's already scored 2 against us at Pittodrie. One of them was a cracking finish, and I would be shocked if he scored again today. I didn't expect him to score after 2 minutes, right enough. I mean, that was a shocker, but yeah, I think Miosky's brilliant. His movement off the ball is terrific. He gave the Scales a torrid time. I mean, if Aberdeen had more quality out wide, I know they get 2 goals out wide through Hoylett, but you know what I mean, if they had more quality in the team overall, he'd have scored again, and he'd have scored even more this season. I think he will definitely be away in the summer. And it was a good finish. He waited for Joe Hart to commit, slid it over him, deflected off his leg. But yeah, it was a good goal with him. Poor with CCV, but we're saying that more and more with CCV, despite the fact that he is still by far our best defender on that team. I just feel he's been dragged down by those round about him now.
He's so good that, like, see if it's like him and an opposition player, like, in a battle to win the ball, he'll win it. I mean, there was one, and I think it may have been the second half, where he was on the touchline and he just like was so strong and dispossessed a guy and let everybody applauded, rightfully so. But I mean, I don't think he's properly fit, but he's holding the defence together. Actually, I'll put Joe Hart in, because I thought Joe Hart, I know it's going to be all about the penalties, but I thought actually, I think overall this season, I think he's done better than I thought. He's not been the catastrophe we all thought it was going
Remember
to be.
Remember you said he shouldn't play for
Celtic again. I take that one back. I don't take things back in this pod often, but I think he's proved me wrong there. No doubt I'll say that he'll let in a right stinker on Sunday. But no, I think he has like earned his place in the team, and he did have an interesting game on Saturday, but I can't really blame CCB for that, because Greg Taylor is so bad now. AJ was just appalling at times on Saturday. He knows Hoyle, they're both the same national team, and Hoyle absolutely ripped him to pieces, like maybe for 8 goals. And we're going to Liam Scales later. I don't want to make it the Liam Scales hatch joke, but really, he's not getting any positional sense.
I just think as well, we've got to get the tone right, because like we're into a final and we won the game.
I know, and I want to say that before we go into our goals, I think we do deserve some credit, because I mean, we look at the timing we gave away the goals. Second minute of the game, a huge blow. 90th minute equaliser, a huge blow. 119th minute equaliser, a huge blow. I mean, other teams wouldn't have been able to win the penalty shootout, but I mean, that is the thing about this Celtic team. They always seem to find a way to do the job and get the win. And we have been doing that recently, even when we've not been playing that well. And I mean, that was, I suppose, was evident again on Saturday. And if you look at our equaliser, it was a hilarious mistake by Angus Ronald McDonald, who had the ball pinched off him by Kyogo. I think he tried to sort of roll it back to the goal or something. I don't know what he was thinking, but Kyogo pinched it off him. Then I think was it McDonald that ended up blocking the shot, and Coon had the.
I'm pretty sure it was another defender.
Another defender blocked the
Coon
shot.
Coon couldn't exactly miss.
But Coon was there for his second goal of the season against Aberdeen, and that was after 20 minutes. So I mean, we had a chance. We actually, to give Liam Scales credit, he did set up Kyogo. I think we had a good chance. We had an excellent ball, and Roos saved it. So that was a really one big chance before the equaliser. But then like 20 minutes, one each, you expect us to go on and like dominate the game, and we had put in a possession, but really I couldn't think any huge chances at the end of the first, for the rest of the first half, really, can you?
No, the game did seem to peter out, and you know, I guess our excitement was after half time, really, for 60 minutes onwards, John. But no, I think at that point, getting level at half time, you'd have taken it, because I think the way this Celtic team are now, if we went in 1-0 down, would you have had confidence in us coming back to win the game?
I don't know. Well, actually, I think we probably would have, because I think Aberdeen's mind frame with a mindset even would have changed, because I think they'd have just sat back,
mentally imploded.
Well, I think they would have like gradually put more and more men like towards their own box, and it would have ended up costing them. We'd have got a goal somewhere, and I think we might have won it in 90 minutes if Aberdeen were winning 1-0 half time. I don't think we'd have lost control the way we did in the last 10 minutes of normal time.
Do you think sometimes we are better chasing a game, needing to get that win, as opposed to trying to see it out?
Well, in our history, aye. I mean, we've done it so many times, like scored 2 goals that late on to win games. I mean, look at just this season, the goals at Hibs and Motherwell. Like, huge wins. So, maybe we are. But I mean, the second half, aye. I mean, Yang did play a wee bit better this start of the second half. I mean, I think Hatate put a ball in for him, and he had to cut back in the penalty box and ended up getting cleared. But I mean, he still wasn't playing that well, and it wasn't really a shot when he got subbed. I suppose he gets subbed in the 61st minute. He got replaced by James Forrest. And the other big change was, of course, Cal McGregor being replaced by Iwata. And before we go into our second goal, which was a minute after the subs, there you go. What did you make of Cal McGregor's performance?
Just didn't look fit. Don't look fit at all. He was off it. I mean, every second ball just seemed to get dispossessed. Wasn't he picking it up? And his passing was just pretty sloppy. Yeah, as I say, just didn't look fit at all. Like, I think Callum McGregor is steering you through that. He's taking responsibility. And a lot of the time in that game, you know, there was Callum McGregor at times was in positions, but even Matt O'Reilly and Hatate, you know, even though he was in plenty of space with the ball, weren't they looking at him as an option? Because a lot of his passing in that second half was so wayward, and they were taking a bit more risks trying to play it out wide at the time, you know, to Yang or Kuhn in the end. Cal McGregor, just for, I think the game just bypassed him in general, but it's definitely not down to him being a poor player or a lack of form. No. It's just he just doesn't look fit.
Well, I've heard a rumour, I won't say where I've seen it, that he needs an operation and he's putting it off to play in the Euros.
That's wrong.
Is that wrong? Oh, well, then.
No, it's wrong.
It's wrong if that's the case.
Celtic should come first and foremost. I know. We're going for a double.
I know, and it wouldn't show me if it's true because it just doesn't look fit at all. And I mean, it must have been so innocuous because mind he scored against Dundee and I think it was right on half time, and then he must have got injured like about a minute after that.
That's
and
right.
He's no start. That game there on Saturday was the first game he started since. I mean, he's been a sub a couple of times, but I knew Brendan would throw him right back in, and he's not going to drop him, which is a mistake because I think we look much more solid with Iwata there. And I know you liked Iwata, but he's blue hot and cold this season. But really, it won't happen. But he should start Iwata for the rest of the season. But it won't happen.
I actually saw in an unnamed forum as well, Iwata was taking pelters too.
On Saturday?
For his performance on Saturday. Right. I thought Iwata played pretty well. He looked composed and his penalty was a belter.
It was.
Best penalty of the entire shootout.
That was a very good one, aye.
So, see, for the goal that James Forrest scored when he made it 2-1.
Yes.
Here's a thought, now, who I was with the game with. See when Forrest cut inside.
Yes.
And he skipped by a couple of players and he went to shoot. I somehow knew where he was going to put it, and you knew that was going to be a goal.
Oh, aye, it
was. Because he scored a few goals like that. I listened yesterday, actually. I watched back. It was a live sort of video reaction. I can't remember the podcast on YouTube I actually watched. There was like a few, and I was just skipping through it. But one of the guys was saying Forrest isn't renowned for placing his shots. He goes with power, but he's always went with placing them. That's what Forrest does. Like, he always skips by a couple of players. You knew where he was putting it. But I remember that I didn't see any of the replays until I get home late on Saturday night, but I thought Keller Roos was really bad to it.
I think it took a slight deflection through an Aberdeen player's legs, because from where I was sitting I had a really good view of it, and I think there was it was slightly unsighted and there was a ball through an Aberdeen player's legs, maybe not, but it did seem to take a touch. But no, I thought it was an excellent goal. I mean, I don't think Emdy thought Forrest would be such an important player for us at this stage of the season. I don't know what that says about
Brendan himself. Did say he's the best winger at the club.
I know, but Brendan lies all the time. Sorry, Brendan, only kidding. No, I mean, actually, that is a wee bit harsh for us, because he's been a great player for us, and we'll need to try and work out one day how many goals he scored for us at Hampden, because there's a lot. I mean, he scored against Aberdeen in at least one cup final, scored that absolute belter against them.
Motherwell.
Semi-final, mind that one, when we beat them 3-0.
That's right, outside of the foot.
It was an absolute...
Similar goal against Motherwell in the second final, season,
right. He scored against Dundee United in a cup final too.
That's right. Is that not the one where he missed a penalty, or was that Guidetti? No, Guidetti.
They had a fight at it.
That was hilarious.
No, it was a really good goal. It was a typical James Forrest goal, and whisper it, but I think he might start for Celtic this season. And he's done it all for Celtic, all right. I don't think he can play 90 minutes anymore, but I mean...
But that experience is vital.
For this Celtic team, which is flaky as in, I don't know how, but it is. But no, I wouldn't be averse to starting at least on Sunday. Hearts and Rangers, I don't know, maybe a bridge too far. But then look at the other options, man. Palmer was just... Well, he was to blame for, I'd say, for the
second.
For the second, aye. Aberdeen's second, aye.
We'll get into that in a wee second. I just want to touch on the moment where we both agree really changed that half, and that was the Junior Hoylett miss. Now, I think... To give him credit, Joe Hart did very, very well to narrow that angle and make it difficult for him. And I was surprised somebody of Hoylett's quality passed up that chance. If that fell to Miosky, for example, I'm expecting him to score. But there's no doubt, you know, after doing absolutely nothing and created zero chances, they offered no threat. Out of nothing, Aberdeen realised, wait a minute, we're still in this game. And I said after that, I mean, they're going to get another big chance here. To who I was at the game with, I was right. But do you think... And why do you think that changed the half?
Well, actually, no, it's interesting. I didn't think for a minute he'd score that. I had it in my head. He's going to miss it. So I wasn't surprised he missed. Was that no due to a sensational bit of defending where Liam Scales and CCV went for the same ball?
Same ball, yeah.
Yes, thanks, Liam, for that.
And again, you wouldn't have CCV doing that in the past.
No, it was just...
It's almost as if he's getting no confidence that his partner is going to deal with it. And he tries to take responsibility, but there's a complete communication breakdown between them there.
I know. Led Zeppelin would be proud of that. That's a joke for the old rock fans there. That's a Led Zeppelin song, by the way. Communication Breakdown.
I did not realise that.
All right, okay.
Old Communication, I like that one.
Great album, I was listening to it the other day. What an album, Beastie Boys.
Can we just talk about the Beastie Boys now?
Yes. No, I, for some reason I didn't think he'd score it, but it did give them confidence. That's funny how that happens in a game sometimes. Well, like, even if a team misses a sitter, it gives them confidence.
Look at the one with Rangers last year. Remember the 2 weeks game? They weren't even in it, and then Joe Hart.
That's right. After
a meltdown, and then all of a sudden they turned
the game around. You're right. Aye. Even though they did miss that chance, as I say, they gave them confidence. And in the 90th minute, they scored, and it was a calamity error, as I say, defensively. Okay, it was a brilliant ball by Hoylett, and it was a good header by their Canadian guy they've got, whose name escapes me, but I will look it up because I'm a great fan. He's called Est or something. Weirdly enough,
I just love how professional they are. You didn't have this noted
Esther
already.
Esther Sokler.
Well, do you know, old heads might remember this, but do you know what it reminded me of, the ball in? It was like McCann's when Lovenkrantz put that one in the last minute of 2002.
Do you know that was the last Celtic Rangers Scottish Cup final, by the way?
I do, actually. Yeah, I read
unfortunately,
that
I was there.
But I just had that feeling that, right, see, at the game when I was sitting at the south stand, I know you were at the south stand in the upper.
I was.
Now, see, when Hoylett shifts from his right onto his left, and he's got that like half yard in Alistair Johnston, when he's put seeing the ball left his foot, you just knew.
Mm-hmm. I could see
you
it
could
coming.
Just see that goal coming. Like, you knew we weren't going to deal with it, and that's what worries me. And that's why, like, people listening going, how can you guys criticise, how can you moan, we're in a final and, you know, we're back at Hampden again. We're not moaning about that, but it's more the fact that we couldn't see that out. And if there's a chance, this fucking Dundee team, who, you know, that I think they're garbage, they're the worst top six team I think in years, you know, to be in the Premier and to make it to that stage, see if they get a chance like that against us at the weekend. Heart be in my mouth, I'll be having kittens, because it was just one of the ones that you knew we weren't going to deal with. And we've got a guy like CCV in defence, and you just knew despite that, this is going to be a goal for them.
Yeah, it was a brilliant cross, I have to say. And his cross for the third goal and always an absolute belter. Poor defending, though. I mean, Liam Scales is bad. That's all I can say about him. I mean, he's in the team of the year somehow. So's CCV. None of them should be in it. CCV's the best defender in Scotland, but he's not put enough games. Scales hasn't been good.
Cal McGregor's in it.
He shouldn't be in it.
I mean, Lundstrom?
John Lundstrom's in it, who is fucking rubbish, and all the Rangers fans I know absolutely hate his guts. But no, I mean, Nolan Celtic does deserve to be in that team's O'Reilly. By the way, he's got 14 goals and 16 assists this season. 30 goals he's been involved with, that is amazing. He's going to be, I know he's been a wee bit up and down recently, but I mean, he's, and we'll talk about his goal in a minute, but he's going to be just, I think if we win the league, he's going to be the guy that wins, isn't it? He's that important.
And I also think that his replacement's already at the club.
Who?
The power and the glory.
Do you think so?
I think.
Different kind of player.
I just think, no, but I'm not saying he's who I'd replace him with. I think that's what the club are going to do.
I don't know, because I don't know who's going to be Celtic's manager next season, to tell you the truth. Because if we don't win the league, which we will, but if we don't win the league, there's no way Brendan can be our manager. I'm sorry, but there's no way. We're 3 points ahead, we're 5 goals ahead, we've 5 games to go. I know we're ropey. Rangers aren't very good either. I mean, they won yesterday, but look at their 2 results last week. So we've got 3 games at home. We should really win this league, and if we don't win it, Brendan has to go. I know he's cheerleaders, but why hear that? But I'm sorry, you can't be Celtic manager if you blow this league. But anyway, let's go to our third goal.
Well, before that though, what was the feeling when the full time whistle went, like, around you and everything? Right, were people pissed off, or were they just surprised, disappointed, or
I was annoyed we didn't get the winning goal, because I mean, we should have scored the one in the very last minute. It was great play by Awata and Ida. Brilliant pass.
Oh, yeah.
Awata, and then Ida's first touch wasn't good enough, and Aberdeen player managed to clear it with his head. Well, about half his face, really. It was a heroic last touch defending it, but if Ida's touch had been better, it would have been a goal. And I know you don't like him as a player, and I can see why, because he's no GG, is he?
No,
he's done much better than we thought he would.
Done very well. There's similarities with you.
And I wouldn't buy him. No, for the money, nor
I'm guilty, because, as I say, I guess I'm maybe guilty of the fact that when I see a striker like Miosko in the park, and a striker like Ida, I'm biased, because I think Miosko's just a cracking player. You gauge a lot about a player. with an off the ball movement, and I don't think either off the ball is that great. He can hold off defenders so well, and in the air I think he's absolutely fantastic. He got a goal disallowed. He was well offside though.
Yeah, that actually was a very good header, I have to say.
Yeah, it was, you know, right downwards. Roos was never getting anywhere near it, but it was offside for that cross in. But I just think out of the two strikers in the park, Miosky is an all-round player. It's just somebody I'm a mark for, and I'm maybe just being too biased, and that's my problem there. If we are presented with £7 million to spend on a striker, I would go with Miosky every time. But I know a lot of people would disagree with that and say, how can you say that, one goal in 10, and look at what he has done for us, and he's made a great impact. So I guess time will tell there, and nobody knows who's going to be right or wrong in that respect yet. But no, I think, you know, to go back to me answering the question I posed to you, really bummed out at full time. Like, I don't think we've got a divine right to win games, a Celtic team especially, but I expected us to hold out and control that last 10 minutes, especially after making the subs, and we looked far weaker as a result of it. And I just felt like the momentum potentially was going to be with Aberdeen. I will say well done and credit to the players for gaining control of the game. I think that was big, and we deservedly got back in front, and what a fantastic goal it was. A great finish, but the touch before it from Matt O'Reilly, you know, most players would have got that ball and lashed at it, hitting hope, maybe just smashed it right down the middle. But like O'Reilly always does, he placed it. You never see Matt O'Reilly just blasting the ball into the net. He always is very clinical and very precise with his finishes. And I thought at that stage of the game, of a match of that magnitude, it was a fantastic goal.
It was a brilliant goal, and I really hope there's a way we can keep him next season, because he's so important for us.
I doubt it.
Okay, no, I doubt it as well. You know, Celtics love us selling players at the first opportunity and no replacing them very well. I don't know about Bobby, the power and the glory that replaces him. We'll need to wait and see. But no, it was such a Matt O'Reilly goal, and it was just typical of him this season. And as I said, if we win the league, which we will, I think, I'll be down to him, I think. Because, I mean, I know you were talking about strikers. I know Kyogo, as I call him, I thought he was pretty quiet on Saturday. All he did was, he had that chance to scale sub and he won the ball for the equaliser, but it was quiet. But again, I noticed time and time again, we had the ball, and CCV's guilty of this as much as Scales and everybody else. He was making brilliant runs in the last defender. We were in the pass. We've done it for the day Kyogo's got here. We've had chance after chance after chance, and this isn't an exaggeration. He put him through, like, with a long ball, and we don't ever do it. And it even hit him during Ange this time. And like, the team was made for Kyogo under Ange. But we keep doing it all the time. And I could tell Kyogo was getting pissed off. I mean, he had a quiet game. So, I mean, I think it's really going to be down to the likes of Matt O'Reilly, maybe even James Forrest. We need guys like Palmer to chip in, who can score goals, but he's been off the boil recently. Either Hatate, I thought, had been brilliant up until this weekend, but I thought he was pretty quiet. But no, I mean, it's going to need the guys that have done it before to do it again and drag us out of the line. So
O'Reilly did, at least, or so we thought.
Yes, and we really should have had it won, because we did have loads of possession, loads of chances. Loads of possession and like half chances in the second half, extra time.
And then there's a massive moment, really, that again Aberdeen get confidence from. Aberdeen have a cross in from the right. Now Alistair Johnston, I feel, is fouled. I think it's Junior Hoylett who clatters into him. I say clattered, right, but Johnston goes down under the weight of him, and it is soft.
But it was a foul.
It was a foul, though. Thankfully, I don't see all the moans and complaints and whines that I've been hearing Scottish football fans are doing, and how Celtic get everything at Hampden. Now, you can go into this further, John, because I know that you've got some fury for them and you want to unload that, but VAR made the right call, because while the CCV won as a foul, it was a foul before it on Alistair Johnston. It's really soft and it's a harsh one, but I still think it's a foul. It reminds me a lot of, remember when Alistair Johnson handballed against Rangers?
Yeah.
Aye, legitimate handball, but Seema was offside. It's like, exactly, one of the ones, there's been an offence before it. So while the second one is an offence, it's void, because the one before it is a foul. I'd like to think on here, and you'll back me up on it, that if we get fortunate, we'll always say it, because we've slagged and criticised VAR and I know we'll go into that a wee bit later on for a bit too, criticise the refs up here, and see if we benefit for a really bad call. I would probably say, you know what, we've got away with one. But I did think it was a foul on AJ. If you don't agree with that, then fair enough, it's subjective, but I think you're wrong.
It was a foul on AJ. Liam Scales didn't the handball inside the box in the first half, which was the other great. Although, interestingly enough, by the way, the VAR actually explained why.
That's right.
They actually said the handball was inside the box, which was odd. And by the way, I'm sure Don Robertson, that wonderful referee, actually pointed for a free kick for the AJ one. He didn't point to the penalty spot, he pointed for a free kick. People thought he pointed to the penalty spot, I think. I don't know, the Aberdeen fans, I know, have been greeting about it, but tough. I mean, we've had hundreds of bad decisions against us this season. They weren't the bad decisions, they were right decisions. And I told you, and I said long ago, any time Celtic get a VAR result in our favour, it's World War III. People can't cope with it. If ever we get a VAR result in our favour, the world collapses. And I mean, they were the right decisions. So there you go, that's what happens. They can be happy with a moral victory, M-O-R-A-L-E. But that did give them confidence. Then the 119th minute, we conceded a goal, which was pretty much exactly the same as we're saying.
Yeah, I thought the ball in from Hoylett was a screamer, though. I mean, it was some delivery. It's so annoying because you're looking for Celtic's wide players, you know, at some points this season, just to cut inside a guy like you and then deliver a ball like that. I've only seen it a handful of times. I think the last time he put something like that in was for Maeda against Livingston, similar type of pass. But no, the ball in for Hoylett at that stage of the game was a belter. But we really should have been able to defend it better. And Greg Taylor actually just ball watches his man too, but Liam Scales doesn't deal with it. Very, very similar to the equaliser for Aberdeen. And at that point, you know, then I know you say you were bummed out and a bit deflated with the equaliser, but we still had extra time to go after that and get a winner. But see, at that point, I mean, it was just pure anger around us at the South Stand. Like, people were fuming, and I'll be honest, I thought at that point we maybe blew it. I thought the momentum would definitely be Aberdeen getting into penalties.
Well, it should have been, so credit to us for standing up to the penalty lottery.
Can I just also say, penalties being a lottery, yes or no? I know you said there the word, but
that was just a cliche. No, if the people in charge had done their job, and that was looking good, and Stevie Woods was constantly like holding up a bit of paper.
I saw that.
When during the penalty shoot, obviously to tell Joe Hart what to do. So it really shouldn't be a lottery. I mean,
I'm sometimes guilty, I think it is, because
I think though sometimes the occasion can get to you. If you look at that Coventry game yesterday, I mean, you could tell like some of the players were like nervous wrecks. That O'Hare, I think, who I thought through the game, through what I saw, was fantastic. He, like, you could tell was going to miss, and I think the one after it, where the guy shanked it at the bar. I mean, I suppose in a way they were underdogs as much as Aberdeen were, because like, nobody expected them to have much of a chance.
But what's weird is with that Coventry game, if that was maybe another 10 minutes or so to be played, they would have went on to win that. But as soon as it went to penalties, you could tell the occasion got to them. Now, Celtic have been in loads of finals, loads of big games, and generally you expect your big characters to stand up and get us over the line on the day. But I always do feel that it is the occasion, and it's just a case of no matter where you practice hitting your penalty, all it takes is, you know, the goalkeeper to go the right way and he sussed you out. And it's more, nobody expects the goalkeepers to make the save, like, there's no pressure on them, but all it takes is them just to guess the right way, and you know, that's it. Like, all that practice that you've had during the week at them, it's out the window. So I think the occasion is a big one, and that's why I do say it's a lottery. It was so tense, like, I could barely watch it.
Oh, you did watch it? I did too. I think there was only one I sort of half didn't watch, and it was, I think, Bernardo's. I think that was the only one I thought, oh no, he might miss this. The rest of them I was confident.
I wasn't confident with Palmer.
He was dreadful for one of the Aberdeen goals, where we had a breakaway and he tried a fucking preposterous sort of reverse pass thing that just failed miserably and, like, set up Hoylett. I was fairly confident in the penalties, but I mean, it was really tense. I mean, I kind of think the last Celtic game I've been to that was a penalty shootout, because I didn't go to the Dungeon United game when Boric was the hero. What was the last penalty shootout we played in?
The Rangers won 2016.
I didn't go to it. I watched it in the house and got steaming.
And then obviously we had the COVID one against Hearts.
Oh, of course. That doesn't count.
That's bad as well. 3-3 that game, and that was like ludicrous defending then. And we conceded goals the exact same.
Right, stupid goals, aye.
Remember Connor Hazard twice?
I know.
That's mad.
Unlikely hero. He's at Plymouth now, by the way. No, I was confident with winning penalties for some reason. And Joe Hart, the penalty shoot was all about him. I mean, he didn't make the save at first. It hit the post. That was a funny one, that. Because everybody thought it went in. They'll see the one that the Aberdeen player hit the post.
Yes.
And the ball sort of done a mad bounce out. Everybody thought originally that was a goal. So there was a second delay before everybody started celebrating. And then obviously, Duncan, that was a guy that missed the penalty. But Joe Hart had the chance to win it. He took the fifth penalty.
And everybody all had the same reaction, didn't they?
It was desperate to take it though. It was like, as soon as he missed that penalty, he went and got the ball. And was like, right, I'm going to take this.
I suspect the fifth penalty as well.
I wouldn't
be shocked if he had a conversation with Brendan saying, let me hit this penalty.
I know, and he hit it far too hard, didn't he?
And I like Joe Hart, and honestly, I think this season, the second half of the season, he has bailed us out in many a game. But it just felt as if, you know, for that occasion, it was maybe too much about him than it should be about what's best for the club. And I thought, when you saw Awata's penalty, I believe that was the sixth one, that was a stunner. And it really should have been him taking that. It shouldn't have got to the point that Hart missed it and we had to, you know, rely on him after that.
No, I mean, his penalty was, he had it far too hard, like, against the post. But he did redeem himself a couple minutes later, saving for Phillips. And the celebrations were a wee bit muted because the Aberdeen goalie obviously was injured. And Joe being the better man, so I wanted to go and see how he was. And then actually CCV said he didn't celebrate at first because he was waiting to see if they were going to say he'd, like, Joe Hart went off the line or had went too quickly.
Yeah.
But then obviously they got the nod that it didn't, so they started the big celebration. But no, it was really, I know you said this off pod, but it was really relief more than delight. I was going to say if we'd like done an Aberdeen and equalised like in the last minute, we'd still feel pretty ropey because that shouldn't be happening. That was against Aberdeen. But then I suppose Aberdeen are a weird team. If I was an Aberdeen fan, I'd think, Christ, I'm no. I'd be pissed after them because look at the problems they've caused us in Rangers this season.
Yeah.
They've beat Rangers, drew with them, only lost 2-1 at Ibrox the other time against us. All right, they had that weird one where we beat them 6-0. They would score like 3 goals in injury time or something.
I think, yeah, that was after the... Well, we played New York so did they, but I think Aberdeen...
they couldn't handle Thursday, Sunday.
Couldn't handle 2 games in a week. It just done them in.
So we ended up winning 6-0, but I mean, it wasn't a 6-0. I mean, like, first game up at Pittodrie, but we went 2-1 up to the last 5 minutes. This next game up at Pittodrie, just dreadful performance, buzzing a 1-each draw. And then that game at the weekend, and Aberdeen are 9th in the league, and there's still no guaranteed that they're going to, like... nobody in the relegation playoffs. I think they're only like 5 points ahead. So if I was an Aberdeen fan, I'd be thinking, how come we're so crap, except when we play against Celtic and Rangers where we give them tons of problems. So I know they've appointed a new manager for next year, so it'll be interesting to see how they're going, because of course the talk is that Aberdeen don't ever try against us, only try against Rangers, funny that, innit?
Yeah,
and of course Hearts
they'll be trying in a couple of weeks.
My thing is that Hearts and Hibs don't try against Rangers. That's my new thing. And look at their results against Rangers this season.
Well, you can hit out with that, John, with evidence now. So
yes, well, I mean, Hearts was in the last 14 or 15 games or something, they beat Rangers. And
they've lost 12.
They've never beat Rangers at Hampden. Of course, they beat yesterday, which was the most predictable result in football history. I hope both folks listen to our criticism of his club. But then, of course, their cup final's in 2 weeks, isn't it? When they'll be going ballistic against us. I mean, Robin Nielsen's team's done it. Naismith's team's there. Although the thing is, Rangers fans don't actually like Nielsen. No, don't like Naismith, did you know that?
Yeah, because of that liquidation.
Because he left Rangers, because it was the old Rangers, of course, that died. So, no, I guess there was a very, very predictable result, and I think we all expected it'd be a Celtic Rangers final.
And that's going to be mega stressful now.
Yes, and I mean...
Well, that's going to be one team potentially going for a treble.
I know.
And another going for a double. Well,
I know. I don't think about it.
Both teams will be going for a double.
A league and cup double is better than a 2 cup double. Aye. Unless you're like Sunday, like St. John's. And actually, Rangers have hardly won any cups either recently.
Well, they can't be choosers.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's going to be stressful. And trying to get a ticket's going to be stressful. I'm sure an unnamed individual might help us out with that. Fingers crossed. But no, that is going to be... I mean, a very stressful day. We'll obviously talk tons more about that near the time, but like, first Celtic Rangers Cup, Scottish Cup final in like 22 years, that is proposed to us. And like, see that one in 2002? I think that was the first one in 13 years.
Well, I just remember that one in 2002 being very easy to get a ticket for, despite, you know, the fact it was a cup final against them. Well, I remember.
Do you think this one will be easy cup final?
This one will be ridiculous to get one for. It'll be a complete nightmare. I'm not, my ballot records are already terrible. Like, I've had to rely on people I've known, or, you know, people hand them down that can't make it and everything. Like, I think the only one I got was the Hibs final with Ange.
Well, it's strange that the last three Scottish Cup finals against any Rangers team have been 1989, 2002 and 2024. That's like three in like 36 years or something when you think about it.
Yeah.
All the trophies we've won and like how many finals they used to get to, and like they still get to them like sometimes, but that is ridiculous. There's been so few. Like, you've had like Inverness Fall Cup finals and stuff, like mad games like that, like Dundee United, St Johnson. I mean,
yeah, it's good. But then when it comes to games and the League Cup finals, oh, it's still the old Coca-Cola Cup to me.
Well, that is a bit
there's
more.
Like, there's like something like six in the last 20 years or something.
Yeah, there's been a lot more, aye. Of course, there was one last year. But no, I mean that is going to be a big day for football, because of course the same time as the Man U Man City Cup final. Which will no doubt be a snore fest. I wonder if they'll change.
I'm sure you'll definitely watch it.
Oh, no, I'll be sitting. If I'm not at this Seattle Rangers game, I'll be sitting in my, I don't know when I'll be watching again.
Will you not be watching both games because of your commitment to the Premier?
No, I'll either be in a pub or I'll be in my house getting absolutely hammered watching the derby.
I think you'll need to be hammered just to get through
and
that.
And then hopefully we'll win it and we'll go down to Parkhead to celebrate, Merchant City.
It'd be unbelievable, you know, if we'd won the league
and win the double. Yes, but can we trust our Celtic team? Now, we need to talk about this before we go, but you have done a complete 360.
Last
week, you were going to meet.
Well, 360 would mean.
Oh, well, 180. So it was after the Ross County game. You were like, oh, it's finished, we've won it. I'm going to say in the pod, we've won it, it's finished, it's over. And I was like, don't say that yet. We'll look like tits if you say that. So you didn't say it. But then after they drew it on each, you were even mere. Oh, it's over. And then since Saturday, you're in a right panic. You don't
is
know
there
if we're
going to
win. Aye, man, the text you sent me. So I think Saturday must have absolutely done a number on you.
I think it was just, again, the lack of control. And
but it's a cup game.
I know.
Look at yesterday.
But then look at the percentage of goals that we've conceded late on in the league.
I know, but
if Brendan is brave Brendan Rodgers, if he's brave enough to make decisions and
he's not going to
drop certain players, I will have faith. But I'm just saying now, if he perseveres with Liam Scales, and again, you're right, the gig pod faithful might not like to hear this, and they might say it's just a hatchet job on them and we're out of order and we should get a grip and they're unsubscribing. And fine. That's
no,
fine.
Don't unsubscribe, of course.
I think people will take the huff because they, for some reason.
But they can't, they just need to watch what's in front of their eyes.
And I don't think there's a sane and logical Celtic fan that can see Liam Scales playing, starting for us, and think, ah, he's reliable, he's going to get us through games, he won't cost us, I think we'll be fine. No. Fucking no.
Well, Brendan thinks that.
Well, and Brendan, the thing is, Brendan fucking knows more than us. Brendan knows, he's so much more qualified to talk about, you know, what's happening on a pitch and the decisions on a pitch, and he doesn't need to justify his decisions to us, realistically, when you look at his record and what he's won at Celtic. But in this occasion, it's not just me, it's like any other Celtic fan I talk to. And there's a lot of Celtic fans out there that I talk to that, you know, people in my work are, that back a lot of players on the team that I don't, and even them, speaking to them the day in work, they're like, Liam Scales, man, he's, what's going on there? I'm sorry, but I'm getting fucking.
No, to get it off Liam Scales, right now, there's 6 days until we play Dundee, right? And Rangers are playing before us, they're playing at 12:30 at St Mirren. So we're playing Dundee away at 3. I mean, that's an odd one. We're both away in the same day. Next week, we're both at home, but I mean, we're playing the Saturday when I'm in London. They're playing the Sunday. They've got Dundee at home. We've got, obviously, Hearts in the cup final.
Well, I expect him to get 6 points.
But I think we'll get 6 points.
I hope we do. I mean, Dundee, I think, I'm going to go on record now. You know how I think they're garbage and I think they're very poor.
But you're worried about it?
I'm worried that I'm going to. It's not going to be easy. But
see if we're just playing them like in December again, like we did. Would you not be confident we'd win like 2 or 3 nothing?
Aye, I'd be all bullish about it.
That's just because of the situation.
It's because, it's as you say, it's the occasion.
But we should be able to handle it. And okay, Hearts might be a bit different because I think they'll be up for it. But we're at home. It should be a sellout because it's a Saturday at 3 o'clock. Our last Saturday 3 o'clock game of the season.
That's right.
So I mean, and
the Scottish Cup final.
Well, okay, yeah, in the league at home. Well, no, that's not home. That's neutral venue. So it's our last game at home at three. I mean, we all Hearts are beaten after their games.
Fucking right with it.
After their games this season, especially that terrible 2-0 game at Parkhead where I went to it.
And they, I mean, they all have a psychological edge in the fact that they have played us twice, if 1-2-0. But we should be getting into that game similar to the game against Hearts, remember, a couple of seasons ago, going for the league. We won 4-1.
Well, we know what's at stake.
We know what we've got to do.
If we win the next two games, we know that if we beat Rangers at Parkhead, that'll be it, practically done. Because we'll be 6 points ahead with two games to go. It doesn't help that there's such a long gap between games.
I'm telling you now, I would love nothing more than Scales to get picked, him to score, us to keep a clean sheet. And they just prove me wrong. I'd be all for it. You must think this is me wanting to be proved right and I know better than everything. It's not the case. I would love Liam Scales to shut me up, prove me wrong, Celtic to go on a winning run, and me then to look back and go, what was I worried about? I just hope our big players stand up. I really do. And it's not just Scales. I'm expecting more for Johnston. I'm expecting more for Taylor. I'm expecting more for Yang. I'm expecting a bit more for
McGregor.
McGregor needs to get fit. Hitati and Kuhn as well. Kyogo. And Furuhashi as well. It's...
As I said, I don't think it helps that there's such a gap between the games these next 3 weeks. I mean, it's one game a week, and people will be having kittens by the time we play on Sunday, especially if Rangers win. I mean, I know Rangers are still ropey, but I mean, if they win, let's say they win 3-0 on Sunday, which they could. I don't know if they will, but they could. I mean, that levelling points again, we'd be like one or two goals ahead, so pressure will be on. I mean, we shouldn't fall down for the position we're in, but... I don't know.
Shouldn't even be in this position.
Well, no, of course, no.
Look, we are now, and we have to just rely on what we've got.
And Brendan's this brilliant manager, supposedly, who's paid £3 million a year. He should be able to formulate a plan with these players that it's not as good a squad as last season, all right, but a lot of the players have won lots of medals with Celtic. They know how to win leagues. I mean, don't forget, it wasn't really a title race, but... That first season under Ange, we only wrapped up with the second last game. That could be the case this season. So again, it was a close run thing against a much better Rangers team who reached a European final. Okay, that was a better Celtic team, but still an awful lot of their players. They know what to do, and really, no excuses. I mean, that's a cliche, but there's no excuses for Celtic not to win the league. All right, the cup might be a bit different. It's a one-off game against Rangers, and it's one of them. Anything can happen. Although we still have confidence we could win it, but really. There is no excuses. I know Kilmarnock away is hard. I know Hearts have beat us twice this season. I know Dundee have been good by their standards. And I know, obviously, the derby at Parkhead, anything can happen. And I suppose same with St Mirren at home. But this Celtic team should be capable of winning the next five league games. There's really no reason, no way. See, if we win on Sunday, will you be more confident?
Got to throw that Hearts game. I think we need 6 points, you know, 6 points getting into that game.
Actually, I was thinking... Not to bore the listeners, but I don't know if I'm going to bother watching it when I'm in London, to tell you the truth, because why should I waste a rare visit to London?
A rare visit? You're there every week?
I've not been this year. But I'm going this month, next month, and in July and all.
Oh, there you go. So but, it's not that rare, is it?
But I don't know. By the time I don't know if I really want... I don't know. If they waste a rare Saturday in London when I could be getting drunk in an American pub, drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon... watching, try to find a pub to watch Celtic. I don't know, maybe I will watch it, and if there's a good Celtic pub in London to watch it, let a gig pod crew.
Well, at least your record when we're playing when you're in London's greater.
As at home.
Well, true. But what's been the results when you're in London?
5-1 against St Mirren in the Cup.
The disastrous 0-0 with Hibs.
The disastrous 2-0 with Hibs.
That's right, of course.
I think that's about it. Oh no, we beat Hibs once when I was in London years ago, like 2010 or something. No, we won at home when I'm in London, so we'll be fine against Hearts. I'm not getting the blame if we don't beat Hearts, because I'm in London.
Well, people have got it in for you.
Because so. I said we were losers. No, excuse me, wait a minute, there's somebody know me, somebody was texting me, I won't name them, non-stop on Saturday, going about how this, no you, some, it wasn't you, somebody that we both know was texting me non-stop on Saturday, going about how this team were losers during the game. So it isn't just me that's got fears about this team, but I think I'm more confident than you now about that we'll win the league.
You might be. I think I'll just need to take it on a week by week basis, but it's mad.
But it's a long week.
It's mad because I've seen this. I've seen more Celtic teams like win the leagues, and I've seen more Celtic teams scrap through title battles. And for some reason, I'm like questioning myself, saying, "Do I have the chops for this one?" But I'll be fine. I'll be fine when the game's kicking off against Dundee. I think it's the lead up and the weight to it. Games like Saturday don't help because I was all over the place. But the beer afterwards did.
Even though I wasn't there.
Let's not
talk about that. But no, I think the big gap, as I said, between games is not good. I mean, at least next week is Sunday to Saturday, so it's not that bad. And then it's Saturday to Saturday, and then like we'll get three games in a week. So the league will be here before you know it. But
and then we've got to look forward to the final.
Aye, but that's an occasion you should you should relish.
See that final as well, like how good it'll be getting into that if we've won the league.
Aye.
That'll feel like a real high, whereas if the opposite, you know, happens and get into that, it'll feel like a pure slog. So it's really important that we finish the season on a high, man.
Well,
I hope they do. I pray God they do.
Well, they can. They know they can. The players know it today. Brendan knows it today. They know the consequences of no winning this league. So they're in a much better position than I thought they'd be this time last Saturday. Nobody thought Rangers would drop, get 1 point out of six against Dundee and Ross County. So if Rangers were 3 points ahead, you know, like we are, I wouldn't think we'd win it. But we are 3 points ahead. We've got a greater margin for error than them. Like, if they don't win on Sunday, I would think it's finished. If we were beat Dundee, like if they draw, we'd be like 5 points ahead, because three in it, that's we're like four games to go. I would think that'd be it. So I think the pressure's more on them, and just because they beat their fucking punch bags yesterday, I don't think that takes away from the fact that they're like on the ropes and all. So we should be confident that we're going to win the league. So we've done a long podcast. I think we should maybe end it there.
Aye, I need a lie down.
Aye.
Just the hearts.
You can't say that. They'll greet. Same with Aberdeen fans. An awful lot of greeting fans in Scottish football. Well, no, of course, Celtic fans never greet. The club never greets Brendan. Right, enough. Right, so you know where to get us in all the usual podcast platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Keep the numbers going up, because I'm sure this end of the season is going to be crazy, so the podcasts are going to be crazy as well, and we'll be back after every game, I'd say. We are Monday or Tuesday debrief, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm also trying to get a couple of opposition fans on.
Yes, I won't listen to them because I hate opposition fans, of course. But yes, that is also coming up today. We'll have some opposition fans, no Rangers though.
Can't guarantee it, but I'm trying to get Hearts and Kilmarnock ones sorted.
Well, but no Rangers.
Definitely not Rangers.
And no St Mirren either.
I don't know any St Mirren fans.
Neither do I. And no Dundee either. Right, so you know what I get is, in all the places, keep the numbers going up. Let's make the end of the season the biggest GigPod podcast ever. That'd be good. Follow Stevie on Instagram at GigPod, and I'll have my... What did I go for? 3-0 in my regional predictions on Saturday? I got that 3-1. I got that badly wrong. I mean,
I don't know if anybody would have had 3-3 though.
What were the chances of two semi-finals in the Cups, England, Scotland, finishing three each, going to penalties?
Going to penalties, yeah.
I know. Unbelievable. I mean, imagine though, if Aberdeen had that scored that win like Coventry did yesterday, to like make it 4-3 Aberdeen in the injury time. It would have been funny though, the way their reaction, the relief.
Oh, right, of course, and then VAR ruled out. Well, I'm sure Scottish football would have taken it well.
That was a very close decision, that Coventry one. I don't know if that was offside. I feel sorry for the guy. It was an amazing moment. Ah well. Right, okay. You'll be on Celtic AM with Hamish, of course, this week.
Wednesday, Thursday, yeah.
And I'll be on it as well at some stage. And I'll be on it after the Celtic Rangers game as well. Would you believe? Because I'm going yet. So I'll be making my Celtic AM debut fairly shortly. So that'll be fun for all the listeners.
And HD as well.
And HD, my God. I'll need to get whoever's following me to try and like keep the camera straight. Doing my Davis doing good looks, I'll not be able to, of course. The silence says all.
Yes.
Right, okay, we'll be back. Are we doing another podcast this week? Are you going to do one or no?
I don't know.
Probably not. But then we'll.
It's a Monday, don't ask me things.
All right, fine. But we'll definitely be back next week after the Dundee game. Where are you planning to watch Dundee game? In your house or in the pub?
Dundee game.
It's half 3 o'clock next Sunday.
Next Sunday. I don't actually know if I'll be with my daughter or not, but
I might
go up and actually watch it with my family and my granddad, my uncle.
Okay, I'll probably just watch it in the house. And we'll discuss that game next weekend, next Monday, I'd imagine, on GigPod. Right, thanks to everybody for listening. Celtic, you know what to do. Just be sensible, right? Hail, hail.
Podcast Network.